Well, greetings, dear ones, for our Wednesday evening midweek church service. Welcome to those in the room and to those listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And we'll go right into our church service. Our opening song is entitled, Put It All on the Altar. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID156.htm. Put it all on the altar.
God bless you, everyone, and those listening in and that will be listening in on this beautiful Wednesday evening. What a rejoicing. Are you battered by winds and waves of this world? Are you trembling from choices you now have unfurled? Does the weight of your burdens bring your heart so far down that you're struggling to stand? Ever feeling you'll drown, put it all on the altar, leaving nothing behind. Put your heart and your body, your whole life on the line. Your family, your children, what you love most in life. Put it all on the altar, leave nothing behind. Our Heavenly Father gave His own precious Son, who declared their love for us by shedding His blood, and the sweet Holy Spirit bears that great gift of life to each repentant sinner, breaking chains in their lives. Put it all on the altar, leaving nothing behind. Put your heart and your body, your whole life on the line. Your family, your children, what you love most in life. Put it all on the altar, leave nothing behind. So when Satan starts accusing and doubts fill your mind, remember Jesus. He was tempted and tormented many times, but He called out to His Father before the early morning light, saying, Father, O dear Father, not my will but Thine. Put it all on the altar, leaving nothing behind. Put your heart and your body, your whole life on the line. Your family, your children, what you love most in life. Put it all on the altar. Put it all on the altar. Put it all on the altar, leave nothing behind. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. And thank you, brother. And those words are so apropos for today. Because if we love anything more than the Lord, we're not worthy of Him. But if we're willing to sacrifice everything and allow nothing to have the throne of our heart except the truth and Jesus, then indeed we will be saved. So put it all on the altar. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel before our great God for opening prayer for tonight's service. Our dear precious Father in heaven, Father, we're so grateful for making possible the plan of our salvation. We thank you so much for sending Jesus down to become our surety and sacrifice for sin, to become our redeemer and sanctifier and purifier and refiner, and our great example. Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting, and we ask that thy presence will be here. We ask that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well, to be abiding guests, to rule in our hearts, to lead and guide us upward, to help us see things that we may have never seen before, and to allow our minds to be retentive and receptive, that the words that are spoken, the words from on high, will not be lost, but will be able to be called forth at the proper time to bring us encouragement, to reprove us, to lead and guide us upward. And thank you, Spirit, for doing so. Watch over each truth. Plant it deep in our heart soil and water it at the proper time, that it may sprout and bring a change, a conversion, and bring us one step closer to eternal life with thee. I pray that you'll be with Brother Joel. Please touch his lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Speak through him, Lord. Give him the words to say. And thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. We have dear Brother Joel to speak to us once again. The talk for tonight is entitled Duty of the Congregation on the Day of Atonement. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes that he'll be referring to, it's at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1374.htm. So, duty of the congregation on the Day of Atonement.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you so much. It has been a great rejoicing for us in this little room that the Lord has given us to have so many wonderful opportunities to hear so many rich truths, to encourage each other and strengthen each other in the Lord during these very particularly trying times and readying times, because we are being prepared to meet our Savior. And I just want to thank the living God, and I encourage you all who are listening in and maybe listening in later to make every available effort that you can while the Lord is preparing these tables, as he's been preparing them through the brethren that have been speaking and sharing, and I mean the sisters also, all that God has put on their hearts to share. Please do your very best effort to get your studies in and to make available time to sit down and hear what the Lord has to say in these end times. It's very important. Now, last week, we were going over the congregation's duty during the Day of Atonement, and very much saw that this is a time of individual searching, and it's a time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to do that individual work that needs to get done. We went over various points of responsibility that we have as a body, but also, more importantly, even individually. There were four different areas that were talked about, that it is a holy convocation, and that was discussing how we're not to forsake the assembling of one another together. We need to make sure that we spend time with our brothers and sisters of like faith in Christ, and when we have that time, we need to not have excuses to not be there. And we touched on the point to where even if it's just one or two brothers and sisters want to get together for a Bible study at our house or their house, and we know we have nothing else really to do, we should stir up ourselves in the Holy Spirit. We should stir ourselves up to go, because there is something to learn. There's something, some blessing is going to be there for when two or more gather together in Christ's name. The Lord is right there. So we need to remember that. We are also very much encouraged to afflict our souls, as it says. And that was a very lengthy section because I believe the Lord made it very clear through our dear brother Haskell that that's a big warfare, is gaining a temperate demeanor to be able to control our flesh and its desires that many times have to deal with what we're eating. But it didn't stop right there, as in being temperate in things of just food. We also have to be temperate in many other areas of our lives, and to watch and be mindful of what are we letting really have control and sway over our mind and over our body. We really need to pay attention to that, because this body was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not ours. Now, the Lord Jesus died for all of the world. So every child coming into the world has truthfully, according to Scripture, been paid for. But they need to come to an understanding that they have been paid for, so that they may make a choice for salvation as they get older and understand what Jesus did. So we know by God's grace. We live this long, and in His mercy and grace, He brought us to that understanding, and gave us power and strength to repent, and even gave us faith to believe, and then even gave us salvation. So He gave us all things. So we need to make sure that our body and our mind and what we put in it, all these things are sanctified for Him. Now we're coming down to point number three. The third requirement, enjoined upon, I'm reading through. And we are actually reading so that those of you who are listening in that might not know, and any that are here now that may not have gotten that the last time, is from chapter 30 of The Cross and Its Shadow by our dear brother Stephen Haskell. So we're on point three, which is a continuation of reading of the whole chapter. The third requirement enjoined upon the typical congregation of the Day of Atonement was to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The offerings made by fire were consumed upon the altar. In the antitype, we do not offer burnt offerings of bullocks and rams, but God expects us to fulfill the antitype of the offering consumed upon the altar. He desires that the whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I look back and at the typical, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and going back to when Cain and Abel were offering their offerings. And it is really very interesting, but also very sobering, that lesson has been repeated time and time and time and time and time and time again, even up until this present day, what those that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and profess to serve the living God. Too often, that which is brought to the altar is not that which is required. We are to offer what God said to offer, and we have nothing really to give except what Christ can actually sanctify. In the time of Cain and Abel, there was a directive. There were instructions given. And I believe by the Lord God Michael, if I'm not mistaken, before he came into the world as Jesus Christ, on what sacrifice is accepted. It's very important to understand that, because of the fact that it is not our righteousness that can be accepted. It is not the work of our hands through our own self-will that can be accepted. It must be Christ's righteousness. It must be sanctified to the Lord. It must be a work that is selfless that can be accepted on the altar. Cain, the type of Cain, unfortunately, is repeated time and time again. And it's repeated a lot even amongst those that profess to know the Lord, because he was a professor of knowing the Lord. He professed. However, we see the fruits of history in the end, unfortunately, led to murder, and he murdered his own brother. His selfishness, his rebellious spirit of wanting to offer what he wanted to offer and not what he was commanded to offer. He wanted his righteousness to be accepted. He wanted his way to be accepted. And unfortunately, that is what happens too often. We are in the antitypical day of atonement. The Lord is asking for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Well, therefore, the offering that had to be made by fire for the Lord had to be spotless, without blemish. So we have to understand that we cannot have our selfishness in it. We cannot have our own will in whatever we're going to bring to the Lord for an offering. It can't be filled with us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to truly search us through and through as to what are we offering for the Lord. And are we reserving ourselves and holding back from the Lord? There was a time also that there was another Cain-like, thank you, Jesus, sacrifice being made by Ananias and Sapphira. The sacrifice that they brought before the Lord was tainted with their own selfishness and deceit and robbery. It was not a holy sacrifice brought as God even commanded back then in the building of the sanctuary. Only bring that which you freely and willingly want to give. No resentment, no reserves. It must be a free will love offering in all things. Well, Ananias and Sapphira did not bring it that way, and the offering was rejected. In our antitypical day, we must allow the Holy Spirit to truly take full inventory of what are we bringing as an offering unto the Lord. Concerning our own lives, are we really putting it all on the altar? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to truly do a surgical work in our heart? What are we doing for the Lord? Is this a sacrifice that he will be pleased with? Now that also goes to our prayer time, to our study time. All these are offerings and sacrifices unto God. How we help our neighbors, how we're raising our family, how are we as husband or wife? What are we willing to give? Even are we obedient to our tithe, to our offerings? What are we doing that is truly showing that our offering unto God is blameless? That fire is holy fire. We do remember that when that fire was lit on that altar in the sanctuary in the wilderness, the Lord lit that fire. It was not a strange fire. We know what happens when that happens. So when we bring our offering, our children, and we give them back to God, are we giving them back to God with exceptions? That's what really needs to be taken a look at also. We have to really, it's really, really, really important that our sacrifices have no flesh in it. If you really don't want to give something to the Lord, don't come halfway. Just don't do it. I really am very much impressed that it is not one that is accepted. If you're going to jump into a ministry for the Lord, don't go halfway. Give him your all, because that's what he wants. He wants your all. We have to put it all on the altar. And the Lord is loving and gracious and merciful and long-suffering. He already understands whatever our fears or trepidations or anxieties or anxiousness might be concerning whatever it is that we would desire to do for his glory, or that the Holy Spirit is even impressing upon us, I really believe you're ready. You're ready for this. Now step out there and grow. Amen. Amen, dear sister. Partial offering is robbing our Savior. It is. We have to give Him our all. The Lord gave us His all. The Father gave all of heaven in Christ Jesus for our salvation. Jesus laid it all out there and died for us. We should not give any less. There's really nothing that we can say that we got in our own strength. And this really has to be understood. Because our life even is of God. For the breath of life is from God. It's not from us. We were born into this world under no power of our own whatsoever. Even our mother and father cannot say that they gave us power to live. They did not. They went through the actions of reproduction, and God gave the life to the seed with that egg. The Lord brought forth life. So, truthfully, God gave them the child. The child comes forth, but the child should be raised unto the Lord, an offering unto God for His service. But this takes place in all of the areas of our lives. If it is a ministry unto the Lord, is it the Lord's ministry? Or have we allowed any part of us to make it our ministry? This is important too. If we're going to raise our children, are we raising them up to serve the Lord? Or are we reserving them? Is the Holy Spirit saying that the child is ready for this and this, and we're trying to say, no, no, not yet, not yet? But the Lord is saying, no, he or she is ready. Teach them this. Take them this thing. Show them this thing. They are ready. But are we saying, oh, but I don't think so, Lord. I just don't think so. Not yet. We're hindering the work of the Lord, and where is our vow for our offering? No, let us give it all faithfully. Let us do this all faithfully. This is a very, very, how can I even say? Probably for many, and I speak to myself first, this is a challenge to give it all to God. Because the flesh does not want us to do it. And I speak very strongly to myself. I thank the living God for the various delivering power that He's been giving me over these past few months, but I find that growth and deliverance in Christ comes by the sacrifice on the altar. How much are we really willing to give? How much are we really willing to spend time in our prayer, in our study, in selfless service unto God, whether it be in our family, in that great mission field right there, or reaching out and actually pleading as we walk out the door, Lord, show me somebody I can share Christ with today. Show me somebody. In what kind of way? Is it with one tiny word or is it with the big words? Do I share 5 minutes or a half an hour? Lord, you tell me. But bring somebody to me that I can share Jesus with today. Because I'm willing. I'm ready. These are the sacrifices that we really have to be putting on the altar. Everything must go. Do we have too much of a love for one thing over another? Is it hindering our walk with Christ? Is there anything taking up too much time and giving us excuses not to spend a little extra time in prayer here or prayer there? Or with a dear brother or sister that we know could use some encouragement or comforting or even some loving admonition? Are we making excuses to not do these things? Because you see, all this has to go on the altar. All of these things have to be put there because the fire is what's going to let us know what's the hay, what's the wood, and what's the stubble. The fire is going to let us know. Everything has to go there because we want to make sure that what went on there and what comes out of that is Christ and Christ only. Let everything get burnt up because everything that gets consumed is sin. But whatever remains in the end, that's what's worth saving. That's what's worth giving as the true, beautiful incense, the fragrant, pure offering. That's what we need to give. I tremble when deciding anything on behalf of my son and my life without going to God for guidance. I believe in my spirit that our life is not our own, but His. That's what Sister Rose had stated. I do like to make practice of reading these things, especially for those who are listening in on the phone or will be listening later, because every little nugget that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can share, and if it can be read in, at least I just feel led to share those nuggets, because they're a blessing to me, so I know that they will be a blessing to others who are listening. So that was from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'll continue the end of it, that the entire life of Christ, actually I'll go back a little bit. So in the antitype, we do not offer burnt offerings of bullocks and rams, but God expects us to fulfill the antitype of the offering consumed upon the altar. He desires that the whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that the entire life of the Christian be laid upon the altar, ready to be used as the Lord directs. None can do this who do not daily accept Christ as their sin offering and know what it is to be accepted in the Beloved. Many times by our dear brother Rob and Sister Rose, you have mentioned this before too, Sister Joan and the rest of the brothers and sisters that are in here, I've mentioned before how we have to die daily. Self must die every day. We need to wake up and already have made the decision before our feet hit the floor that we're to live for Christ. This is something that is going to be a constant theme, and it needs to be a constant theme. Until when? How often are we to do this? Until when? Until the Lord returns and we are going home. That's up until when. There is no time when we stop dying daily. There is no time for that. Amen. Translation. We have to die daily. All my lands. I find it sometimes so overwhelming to really ponder the depth of this whole sacrifice and putting it all on the altar thing. It really permeates every area of our life. And from before, when we were looking through, especially the larger section of temperance and how we are to control, bring our body under control to the Holy Spirit, if we do not do that, amen, amen, Sister Joan. Sometimes you have to die from minute to minute. But yeah, especially when there's some trials that come up that really, really put us under pressure. But even down as we were talking about the things we're placing in our mouths, I was considering this very much so, because I have a weakness about, you know, num-nums. I mentioned them before, and I praise God that He has broken that of me, and I'm very particular, and also down to salty things and sweet things. I'm very particular now as to what is going to go in my body. We really have to pay close attention to all that. We really have to take it very seriously. It was understood that, you know, we, you know, as they had given before, I think that was in Proverbs about the honey. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. We understood, and as that was broken down, on how we're not to eat too much of it. Eat that which is just sufficient. But there are some things we have to understand. There are some things, truthfully, we have to let our taste buds just say no more. The things that they are making that we are, sometimes enjoy the taste of, we have to be very cautious, because even those things which are proclaimed as being organic, many times aren't so organic. And those things that are called natural, many times are not so natural. We are at that point now in the world and how things are being manufactured and produced, that we have to almost get to a point where, if we can, we need to make those kinds of things ourselves. Take the flour yourselves. Add the right amount of sweetening yourself. Put the seasonings in fresh yourself, if you can. If you have that ability, do so. If not, please, very sparingly, eat of these types of treats that are out there being made, because the things that they add in them to preserve them, unless you know for certain that it truly is very natural, and it says like raisins, and it's only raisins, and not raisins with all this other hypersilanes, glycerides, and all. make sure that everything truly is that's going into this body is going to preserve our body as a holy sacrifice unto God in all these areas. I thank the Lord for the dear brethren that he has surrounded me with, that even on times when I was not feeling well, that they gave me good counsel on how to use natural things instead of having to rely so heavily on even what, you know, the pharmacies might have given me. And I praise God that when I didn't have to, you know, use that pharmacy stuff, because there was a time that I had to use some. But the natural stuff actually, I believe, helped better to where now I don't have anything except 81 milligrams of aspirin. That's it. And by the grace of the living God, that's all I need, and I feel great. And I use all the other natural stuff. Cayenne pepper, I use that on a regular basis. It's really good, and it actually helps a lot. So, and all the other herbs, and dear Piana here, my lands, she knows how to cook her vegetables to where they're not dead. They're very much alive and very tasty. We are cutting back on a lot of, how can I say, the seasonings that make our bodies, I have to say this, really just love that flavor. We need to cut back on the sensationalism of spicings and seasonings to where it helps to promote better temperance. We don't need to give this flesh any, yes. Amen. Sister Joe is writing in there. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, attacking appetite, emotions, willpower, time management, everything that makes up one's life. Amen, dear sister. This is true. So it's through all these things we have to come before the Lord and put it all right there. There's no time, really, right now. There's none. We are in a very critical time in this world's history and in our individual walk. We're in a critical time where everything has to come. Everything has to go. Put it all right there, because that's where it belongs. And allow the Lord to say, nope, this can't stay. Nope, this can't stay. Oh, this right here you have to cut back on. It's not truly detrimental, but cut back on it. Oh, this right here, what are you really getting when you're doing this? Why are you bringing me this? Aren't you bringing this for your own sake, hoping that I will be pleased with this offering? We really need to allow the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, to really ask these kind of critical questions. Why are we doing this particular thing or that particular thing? Is it really to please the Lord as an offering unto the Lord, or is that really just for us? Do we feel better about it when we're doing it? All these different things have to be laid before the Lord so that when we are walking and talking and singing and sharing Christ, it's all Christ. It's not flesh. All these things have to be brought, because dear Brother Rob was sharing some things concerning Enoch as he was reading, and I haven't let it leave me. It's actually been like part of a prayer that I prayed, dear Lord, I would love to have that experience, where Enoch was getting to a point where he got to a point where he lived in the atmosphere of heaven. He lived in that atmosphere. Well, that meant that his daily walk and his daily sacrifice unto God was always acceptable. But the only way he could get there is if he allowed the Lord to show him what is acceptable and what is not. And he had to give up his will to the Lord and say, yes, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Father. I'm listening to you, Holy Spirit. What do you have to say? Because that's what I want to do. So that's where we really have to get to in this time that we're in right now. Everything has to go there. This also goes also with conversations. I have to touch on this because it was put on my heart even before we came into the room today. That is an area that, you know, in the house of God, and I pray those who are listening and those who will be listening, you understand. Brother Rob touched on some of this too when it came down to some of the studies on the marriage area and meddling parents and things like that who are getting too much into control of the marriage. But we have our individual walk too with other individuals around us. Are we, how can I say, condoning? Even in those areas, we have to really put a stop to some things. Are we condoning conversations that should not even be had? Are we condoning them? Are we sitting there allowing ourselves, and I heard this one time years ago, it stuck with me, to be someone else's spiritual garbage can? And allowing them to just keep dumping their junk on us that they need to take to the Lord because it's their sin that they need to deal with. So why are you bringing it to me? Unless you are going to sit there and truly, through the Holy Spirit, talk to that person and allow the Lord to use you to point out this is what the problem is. If you're not going to do that, cut the conversation short and move on. Because if the person does not want to hear of thus saith the Lord about what they're bringing you that's basically just spiritual garbage, it's the stuff that they don't want to deal with but they want to complain about, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with them and they don't want to hear it, they just want somebody to commiserate with, we are not supposed to allow that to happen in our individual walks. Our whole life, this is why it's really important too, our whole life is to be one living sacrifice. Amen. Bring every idle word. Amen. Sister Rose first saying, bring it at the feet of Jesus, the only one that can save them. And then Brother Rob was saying, every idle word shall be given account of. Amen. But that also goes for us. We cannot entertain foolishness. We just cannot do it. We are told very clearly we're not supposed to do that. So do we do that? All these things have to be brought to the Lord because it's very important for our walk, our growth, and for some who will not give it up and like to be inside that whole world of gossiping and tattling, careful for your salvation. Be careful. Why would we want to throw away eternal life because we like to backbite or gossip or bring others down? Or no, we're not really doing it ourselves, but we like to hear it. So we can't go and encourage someone to do all this. Amen. That's true, too. It really is, dear sister. Social media is full of idle chat. It is every area of our life we need to truly, and it really needs to be surgically and very intimately placed on the altar. Every single area. What are we reading? What are we listening to? Will it pass the test of the altar? What are we watching? Will it pass the test of the altar? Are we willing to stop those things? Replace them with the things of the Lord. Replace them. All God's gifts are beautiful. Everything that the Lord gives is glorious, is a rejoicing. So, let Him show you how to replace it. Replace it. Replace it. Replace it. I praise the living God. I will share this because I have to share this as God gives me strength to share and presses upon me because I have problems with these little things like that. Even video games. When I was younger, I liked them. As I got older, they got more flashy and all kinds of different things going on. I guess I still had that thing in me about video games, and it really was a tough thing to crack. And I liked various types with lots of action, lots of things going on. And I will tell you, I praise the living God that now that is even broken. And I really have no desire to go back there anymore, but that's the Lord's work. And every day I thank Him for it because it allows me to move more further in Christ. It allows me to grow now. It allows me to spring forward in other areas where the Lord was saying, no, you can't. And that's another thing too. I find that if we do not allow the Lord to do the work in us that He wishes to do, we are stunted. We are not growing. So we have to really put everything there on the altar and allow the Lord to show us this can stay, this can't stay, this can stay, this can't stay. This is good, that's no good. And humble ourselves before the Lord and say, not my will, but thine be done, so that we can grow. Otherwise, we're not going to grow in Christ. We're going to wind up being stunted. We will not grow as full as we should be able to grow. And some things, they get you killed. Meaning you may lose your salvation for something that you wish to hold on to, which the Lord has already said, that's not good. Meaning if it's not good, it's bad. So we have to be very mindful of these things, dear brothers and sisters. So I pray that I'm not being too battering, but it's just something that the Lord is impressing me that this is very serious. In the whole house, there's just way too much of this going on. In the house of God. Way too much not taking it serious about what our sacrifice unto God is supposed to be concerning our lives, and even down to, you know, family associations and things like that. We're a peculiar people through Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made, there's no price that you can put on it. There's just none. It is exceedingly and infinitely priceless. It's going to take us all of eternity, even as it's been said, to even study out the science and the song of this whole thing. I don't even know where to begin in my own tiny little brain to fathom the depth of this great sacrifice that Christ has made. So I'm going to allow my brother or my sister or my son or my daughter to hinder my walk with Christ and possibly hold me back from salvation? I'm going to allow that to happen? Is my husband or my wife more important than Christ? Really? Or my son or my daughter? Or my hobby? Or my job? I mean, we really need to take a look and always keep before us anything that's hindering us from our walk. What's getting in the way, Lord, of my relationship with you? And how could it be made even more beautiful and more intimate? How? Who's in the way? Am I in the way? Get me out of the way. Is it this person or that person or this thing or that thing? What am I involved in that's causing us to not have a sweet communion all the time? That's what we need to make sure is happening. So I'm going to continue on with point four. The Day of Atonement was kept as a ceremonial Sabbath by the ancient congregation. All work was laid aside, and the entire thought was given to seeking God and serving Him. God's work was given the first thought during the entire day. That's amazing, because we just got through talking about that, and it's been brought up time and time and time and time again, because that's how we need to wake up in the morning, is giving a thought, how, Lord, can I please you today? Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up. Oh, praise the living God for watching over our whole home and my loving family. And thank you, Jesus. What a rejoicing day. How can I serve you? Such was the type, but it does not follow that on the antitypical Day of Atonement, no one should attend to personal business, for God never intended his people should be to be slothful in business, Romans 12:11. He promises to bless them in temporal things if they fulfill the antitype by looking after his work and service first, and their temporal interests second. This was beautifully taught by the Savior's words, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares," Luke 21:34. Satan is liable to entrap more well-meaning people in this snare than in any other of his many deceptions. He often persuades good people that the daily cares of the household are so important that they have no time to study God's word and pray, until, for lack of spiritual food and communion with God, they become so weak spiritually that they accept the doubts and unbelief the enemy is constantly presenting. When the time comes that they think they do have time to study their Bibles, they find that they have lost all relish for God's Word. This is very serious. And it also ties itself back, dear ones, to not forsaking the assembling together. There's a tie-in on that. But we also cannot allow our daily life. Yes, we have work to be doing, taking care of our homes, going and we have employment, take care of the yard, whatever the case may be, we have daily things that we are to do, but none of them are supposed to take up so much of our time that we have no time for the Lord. That just cannot happen, no matter what. It's better to have a part-time job and a full-time time with the Lord than to have a full-time job and a no-time time for the Lord. It's better. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, what things? Those things that He knows you already need will be added unto you. Have faith. Walk in faith. You want to be successful here, you might want to be successful there, but if we're unsuccessful in our walk with Christ, what have we succeeded in? What have we gained? What do we have? We have to make sure that our time for the Lord is always there. If it means that you have to get up a little earlier in the morning to make sure that you have that special time, that prayer time, and that time to read. If you have to set your alarm, set your alarm. I'm learning to do it, personally, so I speak to myself first, of setting my alarm and making sure I have some time with the Lord. I want to get into a better habit of, even if I have to get up 5 or 6 o'clock, spend some special time with the Lord, go lay down, catch another hour or two, and then get up and do my day, fine. But I want to be in that habit of having my time with the Lord, that no one can take away that time. I don't want to be, how can I say, careless, because I don't want that to come to me, what it said in that last part. When the time comes that they think that they do have time to study their Bibles, they find they have lost all relish for God's Word. Oh, dear and living God, I do not want that to happen. Oh, Sister Rose, you want to share something?
Sorry, I just needed to share this, especially with mothers when it comes to our daily fast. Sometimes in the morning when I do have worship, and it's amazing how the Lord really is so wonderful when it comes to what we really need. Sometimes when I get into certain study, I want to stay even a little longer because it's sometimes you get some beautiful nuggets. And when that happens, the Lord will move my son, and he goes in the kitchen, and he actually took up the task that I have to do. And sometimes it's like I want to cry because I say, Lord, I didn't even ask him, but I know that I wanted to spend a little bit more time. So when I'm hearing the water in the kitchen going and everything, so I said, Joshy, what are you doing? He says, I'm just washing the dishes. And I said, you know, I wanted to continue to study. He says, no, Mom. And he goes and do it. But the thing about it, it always happens, especially when I want that extra time. And in your spirit, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I have to, you know, I want to stop for a little while to go and do it. But it's then he just moved the individual to just go ahead and do those little things, and it gives you the little bit of time. When you think that God is not actually listening, we have such a wonderful Savior that he really custom made everything. And if we become obedient, he does work out things even beautiful, even though we didn't even imagine that he's actually taking account of that. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, dear sister, because it really is a rejoicing that the Lord moves in such a way like that. And you see, and that's the answer really to that prayer. You put the Lord first, he will take care of all these other things. And it's a blessing when it can happen even in that way. But it can happen in that way for all of us if we're doing those kinds of things. And we have to praise the living God for those things. So I really just want to, you know, encourage us to make that time for the Lord. And I really strongly believe, and I will not apologize for this. It's very important that we assemble. It's very important that we assemble together. It's very important that when we have that time that we can get together, we need to get together. It's very important. We are coming into some exceedingly strong testing times. We are not to be islands during a time when we are not required to be so. We're not called, in truth, to be islands at all unto ourselves walking this faith. If we have a problem gathering together with those of like faith, our brothers and sisters in faith, we're finding that we have problems with that, then we need to get before the Lord and seek repentance. Because there is something sour in our spirit. The Word of God makes it very clear. There's something sour in our spirit if we are forsaking the assembling of others. We need to get right with the Lord, because there's no reason. How are we going to be able to be together with one another for all of eternity if we cannot be together with one another down here? There's not going to be some poof, powerful little thing going on and all of a sudden, wow, now I'm in this loving relationship with my brothers and sisters and I enjoy their company and I love talking about the Lord all of a sudden now because I'm in heaven. No, if we can't do it during this time and we have no love for one another during this time, where we are right now, it's not going to just happen like that. It's not happening overnight. It's not going to happen. We would not enjoy heaven. We have to get that taste of heaven right here in the Holy Spirit amongst one another while we're in worship and in prayer time and in study time. We have to taste that bit of heaven right here. This is where we have to do it. Enoch was doing it. Well, there are some of us around here who are trying to press on for the 144,000 group. Well, in order to do that, we have to get to a point in our walk where we're living in the atmosphere of heaven all the time. It also means that we're not going to be slackers. We're going to be out there doing God's work. We're not going to give excuses as to why we're not doing God's work. In every little way, whatever He has given, one talent, do your one talent's worth of work. Two talents, do your two talents' worth of work. 10 talents, whatever you've been given, use your talents. Invest them in Christ. Do the work. We're in the Day of Atonement. This is the last piece of it all. The loud cry must go forward. We need to see, what if you're one of the 144,000? Even as Brother Rob was mentioning before, why, it would be a rejoicing if one of us in here, or a few of us even in here, should be by God's grace and mercy make up part of the 144,000. Well, in order to do that, there's some changes we have to make and allow the Lord to make changes in us. We have to do the work. We have to stir up in us the gifts and the calling that Christ has put inside of us. We have to stir them up and get to work. Well, we really have to. What are the talents that God has given you? Sit down with the Holy Spirit. Be humble. Ask. Don't ask in a fearing way. Oh, what are my talents? Please don't tell me it's this. Please don't tell me I have to do that. No. Ask with a desire to go forward into the field and do the work. Ask with a desire to get your hands dirty getting out there winning souls. Lord, I believe that I have this gift and this gift. If I do, please show me even more. How do I use them? How? How can I use them? I'm kind of shy, but I don't want to be. I want to really be more outgoing so I can talk to people about Jesus. What would you like me to do? I'm not really great with people, but I love to help, so what can I do? Amen, dear sister. One talent is speaking the right word at the right time. Amen. But all of these are different gifts and talents. But we have to put them to work. We're not in that typical Day of Atonement where we all just sit around and years are going by and we don't do anything. We're just waiting on the Lord, just taking self-stock and allowing the Holy Spirit to search us out while we sit. No, there is work to do. This is the atypical Day of Atonement, where we're supposed to take those gifts, and this is all sacrifices and offerings. We're to take those gifts and use them to broaden the borders of the kingdom of God. We need to bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from a world of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. That's our commission. We have the loud cry to give, but we cannot give it if we're not living it. We have to work what God has given us to work. Whatever little bit that He's given you to do, be faithful in the little. Because as you exercise your faithfulness in the little, He will make you more responsible for something else that's greater. But we have to give. It must all be selfless, selfless, selfless. We have to give. I'll continue on. God is testing the great antitypical congregation. And these are the key questions here, too. They're very key questions. Please allow the Lord to search your heart with these questions. Who will fulfill the antitype and not forsake the assembling of God's people? Who will keep a clear mind by controlling the appetite and a pure heart by prayer and deep heart searching? Who will lay all their interests upon God's altar to be used for His glory and never let the cares of this life crowd out God's work or a study of His word? Over such as these, our high priest will say, "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still." And that was the end of the chapter from the Cross and Its Shadows, chapter 30, Duty of the Congregation on the Day of Atonement by Stephen Nelson Haskell, pages 220 to 229. Now the last point in point 4 gives us a type and antitype of this Day of Atonement, and I'll just read them off a little bit here. In the type we have in Leviticus 23:27, it says, "It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and all were to assemble for worship." In the antitype, Hebrews 10:25 says, "God's people should not forsake assembling together as the end draws near," and the end is drawing near. In the type in Leviticus 23:27 and 29, in the type, all were to afflict the soul, spend the day in prayer, fasting, and pray and deep searching of heart. In the antitype, in Luke 21:34-36 and Isaiah 22:12-14, the admonition is watch and pray always and avoid surfeiting and drunkenness. In the type we have Leviticus 23:27 also saying, offer an offering made by fire, an entire consecration. In the antitype, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and Romans 12:1, the whole spirit and soul and body are to be fully consecrated to God. In the type we have Leviticus 23:30, all personal work was to be laid aside on the Day of Atonement. In the antitype, Luke 21:34-36 and Matthew 6:32-33, the cares of this life are not to come in and crowd out God's work. It says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah, from Psalm 68:19. So, dear brothers and sisters, I just encourage you all to really, even as the Lord gave the song, put it all on the altar. I encourage you all, put it all on the altar. Don't hold anything back. Whatever it is, if there's something that you're even hesitating, then it's probably something that needs to be put there so that the Holy Spirit can truly take a good look at it. We need to not hesitate. We trust our Father in heaven. We trust our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to trust Him fully and completely. Let us trust the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Without question, we need to trust and follow and obey. Humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to be doing this so that in all that we do, it can be, you know, that's my prayer for us, and it's my prayer for myself, to be a walking, living sacrifice is what I long to be, to where I can walk knowing that my dear Savior is smiling at how I'm carrying myself for His glory, that He's really, you know, rejoicing over me. I want to walk that way. I want us all to walk that way so that when we're out and about, even in this rotten, wicked world, we have our Heavenly Father, our Lord God Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit all rejoicing, saying, "Those are my children. Do you see them? I'm so rejoiceful about them." Because we're walking according to His will. And where it's like little Christ swarming around, because all people will see is Jesus, Jesus everywhere, through us. That's what I pray for all of us. But I have to start with me, and we each individually have to start with ourselves. And for those of you who are blessed with children, you have to work with them on that, and you have to put them on the altar. Hold nothing back. Remember Abraham. Hold nothing back. Everything has to go. So that's just my deep prayer, and it just moves me so much. The Lord loves us so very much, and He held nothing back. He really didn't. He gave all of heaven for us. So the least we can do, and as a matter of fact, not even the least, it's what we should do, is give all of our life to Him, completely, holding nothing back. Because whatever it is that the Lord takes from us, we don't need it. It's not good for us. That's what we should do. So I praise the living God, and I pray the Lord this pours out an exceedingly great blessing on all of us, those listening also and those that will be listening in later. I pray the Lord will truly enrich your hearts through Jesus Christ and give you the strength and the courage to truly give up all that the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you to give up and to do what He says to do and obey in all points. And I'm going to touch on this area because it really is important. Please, dear brothers and sisters, and pass this on as you need to, without fear. Change the apparel if you need to. Dress appropriately at all times. this is going to be a very strong message brought one day. The Lord is cleaning his house, and we have to go ahead and dress as Christians, those who are reflecting Christ Jesus in all ways. We are not to have excuses anymore, even in that area. So please, please, dear ones, as the Lord leads you to approach other brothers and sisters about these different areas, in love, instruct them. It is important. We are not being their Holy Spirit. We are loving them in Jesus Christ and letting them know, in love, what is an appropriate way to dress. So we need to really take a look at that too, but that's another thing to come, but it was impressed upon me to mention it real quickly. So praise the living God. Love you all so much. And I pray that the Lord is pleased with this.
Amen, and thank you, brother. Are there any comments or questions or thoughts that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Please feel free to do so. I know one thing that came to me as you were talking, brother, you were mentioning that those who do not use their free time to spend with God in prayer and study of his word become stunted in growth. And what came to mind as you were mentioning that was plants out in the garden. If they don't partake of water on a regular basis, they become stunted in growth. And they're not able to make up the loss in growth even after they get a supply of water. It's like they're always that amount of growth behind all the rest of the plants that were able to get a sufficient amount of water. So even though they don't die, yet they're not able to progress in growth like they should have been able to do if they were partaking of enough water. And that same thing happens to you and me. If we do not use our free time in spending time with God and study of his word, partaking of the water of life, so that our spiritual life can grow as much as it can in that day. And if after a period of time we don't use our free time wisely in spending time with God and in study of his word, and then we begin to feel the lack of religious fervor and we become scared, and then we repent and come back into using our free time wisely in study of his word and spending time with God and in prayer and so on, we're able to regain our spiritual life, but we've lost the amount of growth that we could have had if we had not have laxed in our spiritual walk. And as we were discussing about a month ago, I think it was, that lack of spiritual growth is lost forever. Even if we're saved, that lack, that voluntary loss of growth is felt for time and for eternity, because we'll never get it back. If we reach, let's say, out of all the time that we had to put towards God, and we only put 60% of that time towards God, and we lost that 40%, we will always be 40% behind in our growth if we're saved in heaven for eternity. We'll always be 40% behind of what we could have been, because we voluntarily chose not to utilize our time wisely here on earth. We're still going to be happy. We're still going to learn things. But we'll be just that amount behind of where we could have been. And that's a very sobering thought. It's just like the plants in the garden. They're able to produce fruit, even though they've lacked water at a period of time. But they're not producing the amount of fruit that they could have if they didn't lack the water. Their fruit could have been bigger. It could have been more abundant. It could have ripened faster. So let us utilize our free time wisely, and God will bless us for it. So thank you, brother, for bringing up that point, because that struck a chord in my mind on that subject. But are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free to do so.
I have to just share also, Brother Rob, that this whole time that we have spent over the last few months, actually, have been a really deep challenge, and rejoicing and delivering. Because there's been so much that God has truly worked in various messages brought by different brothers and sisters, and the testimonies that have been stirred up by the Holy Spirit. And it's been some really, amen, some very heavy and meaty truths given. And you can just see how the Lord is moving. And we can see, I mean, you have to really, truly, would have to be just so completely spiritually blind to not be able to see God's hand moving in these matters. And it's amazing to me, I find, at least this is me, in my little mind, it's amazing to me to see how when these messages are coming and the studies are coming, it just seems so planned, but not by any man's hand. It just seems so well planned and thought out for what needs to be prepared for us at this time. In both this little group, this church right here, little home church right here, those listening in, those who will later, and how the Lord opens up doors so that many more can hear. It's so much of a rejoicing, but I don't want to ever back away. I have to say that. I don't ever want to back away. And I take every message as a challenge to step a little higher, and as we talked about earlier, learn how to grab hold of the next rung and not slip down to the lower rung, but to allow the Holy Spirit to get us one rung at a time even higher and higher. Because what you say is so true, and I'm so ashamed, I can't do anything about the past, but I thank the Lord God about where I am right now by His mercy and grace. I can't grow to make up what I lost. I can't, and that does sadden me, but I also can't allow it to burden me down with such sadness to where I don't keep my eyes on the prize. Yes, there's much I know I'm not going to be able to. Oh, God bless you, dear Sister Karina. Have a blessed night. That I'm not going to be able to have as any reward, but I just praise the living God that I haven't been, you know, tossed aside, and that I'm able to meet, wow, so many dear brothers and sisters in Christ that love Him. So I really just praise God, and I thank you all so much, and I thank the Lord. Oh, my land, I thank the Lord so much.
Amen, brother. And we thank the Lord for you being a part of our group. It's been a real blessing to us, and praise the Lord. You were mentioning about sacrifice and how it has to be all. And a memory verse came to mind. It's a scripture song. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2.
Well, dear brothers, praise the Lord for the study tonight, and also on the topic of the time of atonement. I want to share the experience that we had this Sunday as I went over to one of dear sister's home. And for the past couple of, weeks, she's been praying for this particular individual that she'd be trying to share concerning who is Michael. I know that y'all remember the sister Lou, when she was saying that there was that individual that she'd been trying to share with. And the thing that is so amazing is that this stuff, I usually stay home, continue doing a lot of the projects that I had, but the Lord decided to wake me up very early that morning and started to just help me to do all my tasks. And Sister Lulu called me early. She said, Sister Rose, would you like to come over? And I didn't think twice about it. I just said, okay. So when I went over there, we never really thought that this man was going to show up with his wife. And as I was inside of the room, continued doing the work over there, I was speaking to another sister on the phone, because I was kind of concerned about her. You know, they have a lot of fires on that side, and I was hoping, you know, that she was okay. And it happened so that Sister Lulu said that the man had arrived. She says, come, Rose, you know, would you like to come out and try to speak to the gentleman? So then I said, okay. So I was actually on the phone. When we finished, it's like it took some, like a couple of minutes, she came in and they had a lot of books with them. And as they were coming in, I never knew that this gentleman is a pastor with 22 years. I think it's 22 years in ministry. And Elder Rob and dear brother, I'll tell you something. At that moment, I was just saying, Lord, please show up. Please show up. I said, please show up. And one of the things then that was so amazing is that I never knew that, you know, what we were talking about early, I think our dear sister Joan was saying that the Lord would basically give you the words and the spirit to speak at that moment. That really what happened this Sunday. I have shared the word of God with, you know, women, but when it comes to men, it's very difficult. But this time, I don't know that the Lord really gave me a firm spirit to the point where I think when the individual started to be able to share with us, he was coming to convince that Michael was not Jesus at all. To the point that he pulled up this paper, and the paper was Jehovah's Witness doctrine, and he said that we were actually believing just like them. And as he continued giving us all the different things that he wanted to share, the Lord just impressed me to be able to go to Joshua chapter 5, 14 and 15, where I was introducing who was this captain of the host that was standing before Joshua that actually did not rebuke Joshua from bowing down to him. And the same statement that he had actually told Joshua, he had also told Moses also. So he said, how can we belittle Christ to Michael, being that Michael is a created being? So I just shared and said, well, if you can find me in the Word of God where it says that Michael was created, then I will go based on what I thus said the Lord, because I say line up on line up, precept upon precept. I don't want to hear it from nobody else. If you can find it in the scripture, please share with us. Dear brothers, this particular gentleman started to laugh and joke, and with all the heart that I had, I said, sir, this is not a joke. Basically, our life will be required by tomorrow. And this is very serious. It's not something to be able to really joke around. This is as serious that we have to be able to realize that the Word of God is plain. If it doesn't say, and when he took out a new translated version, and Elder Rob and dear brother, I know that I have been acquainted with the whole assortment of these new translations. But the thing that was so amazing is how the Lord took it to one particular scripture where it was describing Christ as the Son of God. And his Bible had that he was a servant. And as we started to be able to share, he was so reluctant to be able to bring down, he started to say, how can I go and preach something that will actually have people right now in hell? And as we started to continue sharing, I asked them, did you get an opportunity to see the booklet what has all of the scripture that supports it? He said, no, I still don't see anything that supports anything that Michael and Christ are the same person. And then I said, so you saw all the scripture? Well, no, I heard Missy, he calls her, talk about it. But no, I said, so in ours, how could I share anything with you if you never even checked the scripture for yourself to determine if the information that was given is correct? You know, the Lord says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So therefore, there is nothing that I as an individual could tell you, because there's only one teacher that the Lord gives us, and that's the Holy Spirit. Take the scripture, take the booklet, go home. Take it with the same Bible that you say you feel comfortable, and look and see what it says. I am not only convinced, I am convicted that Michael and Christ are the same individual. Because in the Bible it tells you in the book of Revelation that when Gabriel was speaking to John, and John had bowed down to actually worship, he told him not to do so. So you have to understand that the angels already know that they're not supposed to be worshipped as God. But there was no rebuke that was coming from this captain of the host. And as we started to be able to, there was a scripture that the Lord had taken him to, that when he realized, he said, but what is wrong with some of the changes of the Bible? And I said, well, there is something extremely wrong. It's not about thou and shall. They took fundamental principles that makes us stand as Christian today. So this is not a light thing. This is something as in when you want to be able to give someone the fundamental gospel and there is nothing to be able to present it because they actually took it out. So you're going to be holding on to the Tao and the, no, it is not the Tao. And again, debating is something that the Lord don't want us to do. The only thing we can do is share the hope of our faith. The only thing that I can tell you is just take the booklet, take it home, and look through the scripture. And you will see if what the scripture says, I thought that maybe you had taken the booklet. He said, no, no. So how can you deny something when you never even gave it the chance to test and see if the word is telling you the truth? So he said, okay, I'm going to take the scripture, but I still believe that Michael and Jesus, I said, there is nothing that I can tell you, but I can tell you what it is that is the hope of my faith. And Michael and Jesus are the same individual. Michael was his name before even he came to this world and actually was given. And Jesus is not a name that was coming from man. It actually was given from heaven. And if you notice what it really represents, so as we started to go and he went into the scripture and found out that where it says Jesus was the Son of God, they have him a servant. I said, why would the New Translated Version bring down, which we already know that what Christ did, he became a servant as of his humility. So how could you remove God's Son towards a servant? I never knew that that little thing was going to give him so much of conviction that he said, well, I got to find out why that it is so. I can't believe that I can't be able to do anything, he said. So he got up and he said, well, I guess I am offended because first you tell me that you don't want anything to do with my Bible. And then on top of that, I have to go and search for the original meaning of what was the scripture, why it was changed. I'm highly offended, he said. And he got up. And then he said, can we pray? And I said, sure. So when we all was going to pray, we went on our knees to pray, and he was standing. Elder Rob and dear brother, I have never said this in my, I don't know why I said it. I said, shouldn't we go before the Lord in our knees to be able to give homage to the King? He said, oh, I don't go into no tradition situation. Oh, you could go ahead. So I just took my hand off his hand and said, fine, you stand as you want to, but I'm going to have to go on my knees before the King. Do you know that the dear pastor went on his knees? And he said, okay, I will go on my knees. I don't know why the reason. He started to say, I'm 22 years in this ministry, and I can't believe that I'm insulted because of the Bible that I have and the information that it's saying. And the thing about it is that by the time he finished, he not only asked the Lord to be able to help him, but he also even thanked God for the purpose of the meeting. But do you know what he wanted to do, Elder Al? He wanted to put his hand on my head. And I said, no. So he got up and he said, well, I'll be back. When he left and when we were sitting together, this is when I was sharing with Sister Lou. I said, Sister Lou, let me tell you how dangerous the New Translated Version is. There was a little study that I had done and I had put together. I never knew I was going to actually use it, but just for the purpose of reference, this is as old as the Garden of Eden. When by changing the Word of God, it changed the whole theology of what our first parents were supposed to do just by accepting another word. And a word that basically God already clearly told them what it is. And the devil let her actually doubt a command that the Lord had given by changing words. So by changing the word is really something not to be able to play with. So we sat down, I went through the whole study. When I went home, the next morning as I was studying, the Lord gave me Acts chapter 24, verse 5. And it even has there, when, if you all recall, that when the beginning of the disciple was trying to share the word of God, and then you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees together that was actually trying to make these few Nazarene followers to become like a cult. That's exactly what this man did. The Lord showed me that he was using the tactic as a cult to be able to discredit why the life of this dear sister was changing so fast being outside of the church, and wanted to say that she was in error because of actually following the gospel of separation. So please, by God's grace, pray for this dear man, because he wants to open a church. And I don't know what is really happening, but there is a pride concerning the, the way how he shares the gospel. And I think it's actually blocking him and blinding him from what it is that he really was sent there for. So please pray, because next Sunday, sometime, he's supposed to be coming back. But already he took the orange book that says about the one about that Michael, and he right now has the orange book. So I pray that you will keep him in prayer, that he will actually take the Bible and go through the scripture instead of actually shunning it without even going through it. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, dear sister. He has some spiritual pride in there, and he's resting on his years in the ministry as proof that he knows more than anyone else. And that is a very dangerous position to take, because if we can't learn from our mistakes or from other individuals, then we're doomed to be ready for a great fall. You know, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. And the only way to take heed lest you fall is to look around and see how you're standing, to test yourself whether ye be in the faith, and not just rely on your past walk with the Lord as being sufficient for the rest of your life. It has to be a daily conversion to God. You know, but praise the Lord that you got him to think, and that's the first step to break through spiritual pride and allow his heart to be teachable. And let's bow our heads and pray for the man. Precious Father in heaven, we pray that you'll be with Jeff, that you will open his eyes, open his understanding, allow him to crucify self, and to truly dig into the biblical understanding of who Michael is, and help him to see that the verses all fit together and point to only one individual, and that is Jesus Christ before he became human. But Father, in a bigger way, please allow him to be humble and teachable, and allow you to lead and guide him through your word. And continue to reveal enough to him to see that the Bible that he's using is not safe, and help him to be willing to go to the King James Version and to allow that to be his guide. And Father, we leave them all in thy hands. I pray that the seeds of truth that were spoken will be planted deep in his heart, and that his heart will be honest, such as you can use and lead and guide, even if it may be at a later time. But if not, Father, then please give Sister Rose and Sister Lou and anyone else who may be there the extra words of wisdom that he will not be able to gainsay, so that if he does not have an honest heart, then let the true spirit be fully revealed, that any potential influence that he might have on others there will be broken down, and he'll not have any effect whatsoever in the negative way. And we thank you, Father, for thy merciful kindness in this. And Father, please continue to be with us, lead and guide us, open our eyes. Please direct individuals to be curious, to listen to the recording, and to understand the truth that they need, and to gain a blessing that they also need from the message presented. Please grant us a good and restful night's sleep, and thank you, Father, that we are a couple days closer to the Sabbath and to a blessed time to gather together and to fellowship one with another in Jesus and in study of his word. We thank you so much for being with us this evening. Thank you for being with Brother Joel and speaking through him. And please help us not to forget what we have heard, but to put it into practice. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
God bless you all. Have a very restful and peaceful sleep. And look forward to seeing you all by God's grace this Sabbath coming up.